Yeah, good stuff. Okay. So both in this past week's parsha and in this coming week's parsha, we learn that Paro's heart was hardened. Sometimes by Paro, sometimes by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But I want to share with you a very amazing comment of Chazal and try to understand it in a very deep and pnimius way, in the way of pnimius haTorah. Okay, what does the pasuk say? Vayomer Hashem al Moshe kaved lev Paro me'ein l'shalacham. We just read this past Shabbos, kaved lev Paro, that Paro's heart has been hardened. Paro hardened his heart. Again, we read also in Parak Tes in the second source, vayichbad lev Paro. And next week's parsha, we'll read again in source number 3, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe bo al Paro. Keep trying, Moshe. Parsha begins this coming week. Paro's not ready to let them go yet. Ki ani hechbadati as libo. Because I've hardened his heart. Now, there's a medrash, there's a Maimer Chazal, exactly where the earliest source is. It's a little hard to identify. It's quoted in source number 4 in the Medrash Seichel Tov. Medrash Seichel Tov is a collection of earlier sources, of earlier Midrashim. And the Balei HaTosfos, you can open up as many windows as you want, if it opens. Take off your sweater, it's also good. The Balei HaTosfos also quoted in their collected writings. And they say the following. What's Pashto Pshat? Chavadi translates the words Kaved Lev Paro. Paro's heart was hardened. Paro hardened his heart. But what is Kaved? What body part is the Kaved? The liver. So look what Chazal revealed to us. It's Mamash the deep secret. Source number 4. Vayomer Hashem Moshe Kaved Lev Paro. No looking ahead. Please don't look ahead. Klomar. Source number 4. In the Medrash Seichel Tov. Klomar. Libo Shel Paro Nefach L'Kaved. Kaved le Paro means that Paro's heart became like his liver. His heart was transformed into his liver. What does that mean? Now, I'm not saying that, and I don't think that Chazal is suggesting that biologically his heart became a liver. I don't know if that's possible. Right? But whatever the idea of the heart is, whatever the idea of the liver is, and the reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us with a balance of heart and liver, Paro's lev became like a kaved. Just like the kaved doesn't understand, so too Paro lost his ability to understand. And the Medrash Seichel Tov goes on and quotes a pasuk in Bereishis Mem Beis, right, where the pasuk says, "Vayomer Elachav Hushav Kaspi v'gam yinei ba'am tachti v'yetzei libam." Yetze Liba, says the Medrash Seichel Tov, where it's bolded, Lepisha kol midos haguf tlin belev. When a person's in a frightening situation, your heart starts to like jump out of your chest, because something's not balanced here. Something's off. Everything depends on the heart. And therefore, when a person acts in a sinful way, God forbid, his heart becomes like his liver. A strange idea that requires a lot of explanation. In the Hadar Zakenim of the Balei HaTosfos, it's not the Das Zakenim of the Balei HaTosfos, it's a different collection of the Balei HaTosfos, printed as a separate volume. I have it at home with the commentary of the Rosh on Chumash, Rabbeinu Asher. So the Hadar Zakenim says, quotes a very interesting mashal about a fox and a fox and a donkey and a lion. And then the Hadar Zakenim, maybe we'll come back to the mashal. Then the Hadar Zakenim concludes, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Shote Zeh Ein Lo Lev Paro. You're such a fool. You don't even have a heart. Libo Nasa Kaved Behind the Chsiv Kaved Lev Paro. That Paro's heart became like his liver. Again, very deep, very mysterious. What does it mean? So we'll start with the grandson of the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov had a daughter whose name was Udal. And Udal had a son whose name was Rav Moshe Chaim Ephraim. The Degel Machane Ephraim. Okay? Says the Degel in this past week's parsha, source number 6. Kaved Lev Paro. Yesh la ha'ir bezeh shelo nichtav zeh ha'lashon rak b'mak ha'rishona shahay sadam. The only time where you have it exactly like that, that phrase, Kaved Lev Paro, is by the first makkah, by dam. Why? Yam adayin lo noda kol kach kvedos libo. And at that point, Paro's heart is not yet so hard. It's going to get much harder along the way. So what's going on here? So he says, I heard from Harav HaMafursim Rav Lipa from Chmelnik. Okay, he was related to him by marriage. And I think that maybe I saw Chazal themselves say this. We just saw the Chazal say this. What is kaved leiv paro mean? Where it's bolded, she'etzel paro nishafech haleiv v'nasa kaved. Ad kam. I heard from Reb Lippa, and I also think I saw in a medrash, that paro's heart became like his liver. What on earth does that mean? Says the Degel Machane Ephraim, fourth line. V'ne yadua zesh shemi'ito lo teitze ra'os chas v'shal. We know that God doesn't do anything evil. Right? Do we know that? Chaver, do we know that? We sure do. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh spent a lot of time on Thursday teaching us that. Yeah? So we know that God is not responsible for any evil in the world. When a person is punished in this world, you should realize it's because of sin. Maybe not even your own sin, but it's because of sin. And the response for the right, the schar onus from your own efforts is being brought upon you. And look at the two psukim he quotes. Mamish the same two psukim that Arachayim HaKadosh quoted. Tiasreich ra'aseich, and Yirmiyah Perek Beis, you should be afflicted by your ra, by your evil. And vatimugenu biyad avonenu. Those are the two of the psukim that Arachayim HaKadosh himself quoted. So chas v'shalom, when a person is punished, you should realize it's not God's fault. V'lakach bevadai me'ein hapagam v'hara sha'asa hu ha'onesh. Mida k'neged mida. What you do is how you will be punished. So now watch. It says, kaved leiv paro, paro hardened his heart. You know what maka that's going to bring? Dam. What does blood have to do with anything? Because the penalty, the punishment fits the crime. Why? Kaved. What did Chazal say? His heart became like his liver. What do we know about the liver? Where it's bolded, the liver is a very, very bloody organ. When it comes to kashering the liver, you have a lot of questions, how to deal with the blood, how to get the blood out of the liver. And therefore, because Paro, you turned your lave, which is itself a bloody organ, responsible for pumping blood, right? You turned it into a kaved, you made it even bloodier. So therefore, Yeshbo Riboy Dam, Vihi Malaya Dam, quotes the Gemara in Chulin, that deals with it from Akasha's perspective. Vihesh Lomar Adara Halatza, and therefore what? So therefore, Mida Kenegan Mida, your penalty is going to be the Makkah of Dam. Okay, very interesting. Then he goes a step further and he says, Mida Kenegan Mida, we also have to focus, he says, perhaps we could suggest what happened to the Jews by Makkah's Dam. The Jews got rich. That's also Mida Kenegan Mida. Why? Perhaps this is what Chazal tells us in the Medrash, that Mimakas Dam has Shiru B'nei Yisrael. This is the pasuk I referenced a moment ago from Yeshaya Perikutas. What does it say? Nagof V'rafo. The Makos were afflicting and healing, which means whatever it did to the bad guys, it did the opposite to the good guys. However the mitzvah were punished, the Jews were healed in that same way. Nagof l'mitzrayim v'rafo l'Yisrael. Like it says in the Svarim HaKadoshim of the Toldos Yaakov Yosef, right, the Rav of Polonia, ki mimaka atzma metakin ritia. From the maka itself, the bandage was created. Ainu oso davar shayel l'mitzrayim nagof hayirafo l'Yisrael. It's not that the mitzvah were punished and therefore the Jews were left alone. No. The same thing that was harming the Egyptians itself was healing the Jews. Look in the writings of the Tolbas Yaakov Yosef, he says, Barichas, you'll see more about that. So he says two lines from the bottom. V'nekan ha'el mitzrayim maka, mikoved makas dam. So here the mitzvah are being punished, that what? That because Paro hardened his heart, he made his heart into a kaved, a liver, which is a bloody organ, the punishment was blood. So he says, perhaps we could suggest, now we understand why the Jews got rich. It says in the bottom line, V'damim tarti mashma. Because blood, damim, has a dual connotation. Right? Damim is also a code word sometimes for what? For money. So the Mitzrim got blood and the Jews got money. Therefore the implication of the word dam for the Jews, top of the second page, Shumamun Veshir B'nai Yisrael. Damim, right? Because your life depends upon having parnasa. If you don't have money, you starve, you die. So therefore the Mitzrayim got damim and the Jews also got damim. They got blood and we got money. There's a lot of other secrets contained within this whole sugya, and he says one who is wise will figure it out. But there are dvarim niflam here. Okay, so what are some of the other dvarim niflam that he wants us to discover? So we go a step further. In the writings of the Bnei Yisrael, with Tzvi Elimelech of Dinov, he wrote a sefer on Chumash called the Agra Dekala, and he takes us one step deeper into this sugya. Look what he writes in source number 7. He says, every Jew has to work on this inyan to make sure that your heart is more heart and less liver. That the heart is in control of the liver and not, God forbid, the opposite. Yesh lefarish, dihine ha-nefesh mishkana b'kaved, shu kulo dam. Where is your nefesh? Where is your soul? Now nefesh, of course, is only one of the 5 names for the soul. It's the lowest name for the soul. Where is your nefesh found? Where does your nefesh reside in your body? Where is its mishkan? Okay, so Ramla says it's on the left side of your heart. We'll see about that in a moment. The nefesh, says the Bnei Yisrael, in the Agra Dekala, he says, Mishkana b'kaved shu kulo dam. The nefesh resides in the liver because the liver is a bloody organ. Ki adam hu anefesh. Recognize that pasuk? Blood is associated with nefesh, the level of soul called nefesh. Ki adam hu anefesh, he says. Where is the ruach? Chavi, you know the names of the 5 parts of the soul? Let's write those down for a second to make sure we have it. I'll make things easier. The lowest level of the soul is called nefesh. A step up is ruach. After ruach is neshama. After neshama is chaya. Chasur hay, chaya. And last but not least, the deepest part of the soul, the loftiest and deepest part of the soul, yechida. Yechida.
They're all different.
Okay, 5 dimensions of the soul. Where is that found? It's in a medrash. It's a medrash. It's not in Kisrei Arizal. It's not in some strange Kabbalistic kuntras. It's a state in medrash in Bereishis Rabbah. You'll see it a little later on in this year. Okay? So where is your nefesh? Where's the lowest part of your soul? It's in your kaved. It's in your liver. Because it's a bloody organ. Okay, where is your ruach? Says the Agra Dekala in the second line where it's bolded, ruach mishkano belev. Your ruach is in your heart. Now, Avramla said the heart actually has really 2 parts to it. So look what he writes. Hine belev yesh beis chalalim. There are 2 parts to the heart. There's the left side and the right side of the heart. Chalal hayimini malei ruach. The right side of the heart is filled with spirit, filled with ruach. Sham mishkan hayetzer tov. That's where the yetzer tov resides. Lev chacham liyamino. But the left side is filled with blood. And there is the mishkan of the Yetzer Hara. Lev ksil lismolo. The foolish part of you is on the left side. Vinei, and there's a constant battle that's raging. Ulaom milaom ya'amatz. Recognize that pasuk? Where's that pasuk? Ulaom milaom ya'amatz. Where? It's in Parshas Toldos. Right? Yaakov and Esav. Shnei goyim bevidneich. You have 2 warring dynasties inside of you. You have Yaakov and Esav. And la'om mila'om ya'amat. One malchus will fight against another malchus. Keep that in mind. One malchus will fight against another malchus. Kasher miskaber yitzer tov al yitzer hara. So when the right side of the heart takes charge, and the yitzer tov overpowers the yitzer hara, mispashin haruach shebechol hayamini, gam bechol ha'smoli la'at la'at, ad ki v'yigarsheyu v'yelech, shemegarish kol adam shebechol ha'smoli. You're able to fill, right? Again, we're talking more metaphysical than physical. You're able to fill, so to speak, the entire heart with what? With ruach. To drive out the blood, to pump out the blood, and to let the heart be entirely made up of, so to speak, the right side, the Yetzer Tov. So therefore, he says, when the right side, when the ruach takes over both sides, he brings a remez, look what he writes, v'nishava beis pamim ruach, when you have 2 times ruach, when you double over that spirit of soul called ruach, Ruach is 214. V'hu Hashem achose chayim l'kol chay. Chatach, 428. He says when you have double the amount of ruach, because the Yetzer Tov is in the driver's seat, then you have what? 2 times ruach is 428, which is ches, tav, chaf sofit. Which he says is achose chayim l'kol chay. The one who divvies out life to all who are alive. It's a pasuk that implies a deep connection to Hashem. But that shame, that those three letters, Ches, Tav, and Chaf Sofit, Kabbalistically is a name of God. And it's hinted to in a pasuk that we have to say with kavana, so much so that the halacha says if you don't say this pasuk with kavana, you have to repeat the pasuk. What pasuk is that in Ashrei? Poseach es yadecha. What's the last letter of poseach? Ches. What's the last letter of es? Tav. What's the last letter of yadecha? Chaf sofit. Okay? So when you say that pasuk, you're not just asking Hashem to give you parnasa in the sense that you should have money in your bank account, you should get a job, but you're asking God to give you life, spiritual life. To fill you with spiritual life. Okay? So when the right side is in charge, when the Ruach is strong, doubly strong, so much that Ruach plus Ruach is what? Is Chosech Chaim L'Kol Chai. Then you have real life. You're sustained by the spirit of godliness. Give me 1 second, I'll take your comment. Uve Hefech, Chas V'Shalom. What happens if the opposite happens? What happens if the left side takes over, the Yetzer Hara takes over? If the ruach is driven out, if the right side, the positive side is driven out, and there's an expansion of the blood of the left side, what happens if the dam, the blood, dam is 44, gematria, what happens if the dam is doubled over? So then, unfortunately, a person finds himself in a bad matzav. He finds himself in what David HaMelech laments, feeling trapped. Feeling trapped. What's the pasuk in Tehillim? We have it in footnote 4. Nafshenu kitzipor nimlita. Mipach yokshim. Like a bird that's been set free from the pach yokshim. Pach is 2 times dumb, 88. Pach is a trap. So God forbid you could expand your spirit, right, and have a lot of life, real lebedik living, right, real chiyus, or God forbid you could be trapped by your yitzhara. You could be trapped by that meitzar, okay, trapped inside oneself, and that would be very bad. Because then he's trapped by his taivas, and that's a really bad thing. So therefore, now we understand a little bit deeper. Kaved leiv paro. What does it mean, kaved leiv paro? And Chazal told us that what? That paro's heart became like his liver. That means the left side of paro's heart, the bloody side of the heart, expanded itself. That's why Chazal is saying paro's heart was like a liver. It was all blood. That means yitzhara. And what happens when you have that? Pach, you're trapped. And that's why Klal Yisrael feels trapped in its time. They can't get out. Because Paro is turning his heart into a liver, into a kovid, into a dum. And therefore that's the end of the pasuk. Me'ein l'shalach zam. Paro refuses to set the Jewish people free. Then he goes a step further and says one other interesting thing. Let's just do the next paragraph, then I'll take your comment. He says one step further. He says the Agar Dekala, says the B'nai Yisrael, he says, what happens when you take meat and you cook it in fire? Now you might tell me your experience is the opposite of this, so I'm not sure. Tzarech Ian a little bit. Right? Normally you take a steak and you start to cook it and it shrinks. But he says sometimes, depending on how you cook something, if you cook something, let's say maybe you boil it, right? You put a piece of meat and you boil it, it could be that as the meat softens, it actually gets bigger, it expands itself. It expands itself. So look what he writes. He says, where it's bolded, in the next paragraph. He says, normally, he says, what's the nature of the liver? He said, Ki kol min basar misgada al yedeha or umisave. When you take meat and you heat it up, it expands itself. If it started off as a kazayas, then it becomes bigger. Masha'enkin, where it's bolded, Masha'enkin basar akaved. What happens if you take the liver and you cook it and you cook it and you cook it, you heat it up, it shrinks and it becomes hardened. Right? As the blood is either pulled out of it or pulled into it, whatever it is, the liver actually becomes what? Turns inward. Look what he writes. Masha enkein basar kaved adraba al yedeha or miskasha yoser mimasha yachai. As opposed to when it was raw, it becomes tighter and firmer, right? More pulled in, more internal. And therefore he says, maybe that's the pshat. Kaved leiv paro. Look what he writes, 3 lines from the end. Nasa ke kaved shalonis rachech al yedei ha'or. What's the or? What's the fire that Mitzrayim is being cooked in? Ko devarai ke'esh no'am Hashem. Hashem says, my words are like fire. Every time we come to Paro and give him another message, a fiery message from God, what happens? But Paro, he's all kaved. And when the kaved is on the fire, what happens? It gets more stubborn. It gets tougher. It gets more insular. It turns more inward. It doesn't soften. It gets more stubborn. It gets harder. Kekaved she'eino yotze mishitcho, like the kaved that doesn't expand itself, rak nishar al ma'amado, it holds its place. And so too, now we understand that as power is being cooked under the fires of Hashem, power is becoming more and more stubborn and becoming even more. The mates are, the boundaries of Mitzrayim are getting that much tighter as time goes on. It's interesting, just on a historical note, the Bnei Yisrael ends the piece by yelling about a hot issue that was raging amongst the Hungarian and Galician rabbinate at the time. You can see in the footnote, in the English biography of the Bnei Yisrael that came out a few years ago by Rebbetzin Feldebrand, she writes about it, the campaign against force feeding. The Bnei Yisrael paskin vehemently that they used to take geese and they would force feed them, and the Bnei Yisrael felt that the animals, that the birds were treifas, and that it's the meat is not kosher, and there were a lot of butchers who were selling this as like a, you know, a fancy thing. Yeah. And the Bnei Yisrael spoke out against it. He said, when people are eating these geese, it's like eating blood, and it's going to just make you stubborn, it's going to get you distant from Hashem. Anyway, they took out that whole paragraph. We didn't need to read it inside, but that's he goes off on a major. What is that? Yeah, no, I gave you a little bit. I gave you one line of it, where he says. But again, if you wanna, that excites you, you can read more about that hot controversy. That was force feeding of geese. It's a very popular, pressing topic in our time. Okay. Yeah.
About to connect the two shemim that we had about. The
okay.
That's why Bnei Yisrael described as kotze ruach.
Kotzeruach, right?
Is that they weren't able to
be very good. As Paro was becoming more stubborn and more trapped, then they saw Kotzeruach. Right. Not having the expanded consciousness that the Rechaim HaKadosh was saying. Yeah, for sure. Okay, Chaver, you good? Everyone okay? I don't seem happy enough today. Did I do something? Did I insult anyone? There you go. Let's get a few smiles. This is good stuff. We didn't even get started yet. Don't worry, shir's almost up. Okay, says the Chassam Sofer. Yeah, Rob, what do I want to say? Yeah.
There's like a whole quote about like there were times where self like
part. Oh, so we're gonna see. We're gonna get to that now. We're gonna get to that. In the next piece actually we're gonna get a little bit to that. Chassam Sofer's gonna get to it. Okay, but yeah, we'll have to see how that plays into this. Power is choosing to harden his heart versus losing control. Obviously, that's a big sugya even amongst the Rishonim, but we'll try to learn it again. In a way, b'derech ha'pnimiyus. So let's take a look. Says the Chassam Sofer in his writings on Pesachim. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaved Lev Paro, Perish, Shagam Libo Hu Kamo HaKaved. And that's why Paro says, Mi Hashem, I don't know anything about this God. Okay, look in the Medrash Rabbah. You can look elsewhere to see more about that idea of Kaved Lev Paro. V'akavana pshuta b'zeh lefi ani azdaiti, says the Chassam Sofer in the second line. Ki b'koach nefesh adam gimel kochos. A soul is made up of three different components. Hatzomeches. There's the part of you that grows almost like tzomeach, like a plant. U'v'zeh mishtatev la'atzmachim. In that sense, you're like a tree or a plant. U'mishkana b'kaved. And that part, that physical part of yourself that facilitates growth, just like any plant that's growing or a tree that's growing, that corresponds to your liver. Okay. The ruach, hachiyuni, the ruach, which is a little bit more elevated, a more elevated life force, is belev. And he says that creates a certain taiva, v'hi ha-mis'ava, u'mishtati b'zeh ma'behema. And that gives man the ability to act with an animalistic urge like an animal. And that's found, he says, in the heart. And then, of course, from nefesh to ruach, we come up the chain to neshama, which is found in your intellect. The thing that sets man above the animals and above plant life. And that's the brain, which physically is positioned on top of the body in order to what? To guide man. The man should make proper, rational, good, thought-out decisions. V'haremez, says the Chassam Sofer, Melech al b'nei shachatz. It says in Eov about the Livyasan, you see in footnote 7, the whole pasuk, Es kol gavoa yir'eh, it's called Gavoa Yireh, Hu Melech Al Kol B'nei Shachatz. It says about the Livyasan that all of its haughtiness shall be perceived, shall be seen, And it will be the melech over all who are haughty. It will dominate all those who try b'nei shachat, so those who act in a haughty fashion. Okay, a deep thing, description of the end of days, the Leviathan. Fine. But says the Chassam Sofer, there's a very important remez in this pasuk. What does it mean, melech al kol b'nei shachatz? Look what he writes. Melech rashei tevos yaduach. Have a look inside. Moach lev kaved. Melech stands for moach lev kaved. Neshama is in the brain. Ruach is in the heart. Nefesh is in the kaved. So to be a melech means what? To operate from the top down. That my brain informs my heart, informs my liver. Shachatz stands for sichli, my intellect. Chiyuni, right? The animalistic, being alive like an animal as opposed to a plant. And then the tzadi is tzomeach, tzomeches. The ability to grow like a plant. Uvasher hachamor lohikir malko. So now he goes back. Okay, so now he's going back to that medrash that I took out, but I edited out before. The medrash of the chamor, of the donkey that refused to recognize the lion and was punished for that. So too, Paro refused to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mi Hashem. And in that way, Paro, who was a melech, became not a melech. Says the Chassam Sofer, go to three lines from the end. He says, what does it mean, Kaved Lev Paro? What happened to Paro? As Paro got more and more stubborn, he lost more and more of what? Of those levels of soul that lift a person up. So at first, Paro loses what? The moach, so to speak, the intellect, and he's like an animal. And then it goes so far that he loses the madrig of an animal and becomes what? Mamish, like a plant. Look what he writes, four lines from the end. Vezeo kaved lev paro, perish. Shegeder paro hu lev, vekaved lo zulas. Kaved lev paro means paro. You were supposed to have a moach like every good human being. You could have been a melech. But you rejected the melech malachim lachim akadosh baruch. You rejected the king of kings. So I'm lowering your standing. I'm lowering your status in the world. And now you just what? Kaved lev paro. Instead of having a melech and a lev and a kaved, now you're just kaved and lev. Vine besof. But what happens at the end? At the end, in this week's parsha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says what? I'm turning your entire heart into a kaved. Vine besof hichbir Hashem libo shelo birtzono v'nidno mimenu ta'avaso. Paro, I'm taking away your ability to even what? To even choose like an animal. And now you're going to be left with nothing but kaved. You don't even have a lave anymore. And he says two lines on the bottom. He came kvar nafal madrega yoser pachusa shelo pal libo po'lasom yuchedes. That your heart doesn't even function anymore. You're not in control of your own heart anymore. V'nasa mamish rak kaved. And that's what it means. Aniach baziti as libo. Perish asisi milibo kaved. So again, the descent of man. Paro, every man could be a melech, could have his moach and his lev and his kaved functioning properly. Paro first lost his moach, and then God took over his heart. God took over Paro's heart to the point that he was left with nothing but a kaved. Okay? Yeah. Mi Hashem, aha. So by rejecting Yud Kevavkei, the flip side of that is, aha, I'll take away all of your, I'll leave you with nothing but kaved. Gematria Yud Kevavkei. Wow. I'll make you as lowly as a human being can be and still be alive. Very good. Very good. Okay? Very good. So now, yeah? The good old days, huh? So now let's go a step further. Rav Shalom Shvadron, in his Sefer Lev Shalom, quotes a Gemara in Sota and a Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah, the difference between a tzaddik and a rasha. It's very interesting. It's a little bit strange, actually. The Gemara says in source number 9 that when Miriam comes to Bas Paro and says, oh, you have this baby and no one's able to feed the baby, do you want me to get you a nurse? And she says, yeah, that'd be great. I'd be happy. I would pay for a nurse. And all of a sudden, Moshe's mother is being paid to nurse her own child. V'ani atena scharech, says the Gemara in Sota, as well as the Medrash in Shemos Rabbah, Amar Bicham Berchanina, source number 9, Lo dayan le tzadikim shemach zirin lehen avedasan, el shenosin lehen scharan. Ha! What a joke! Not only did the lost object, namely Moshe Rabbeinu, come back to his mother, but she even got paid for it. You got paid to have your lost object returned to you. Says Rosh Shalom Shadron, do you think Moshe's mother really cared about making a few bucks off of nursing her own child? That seems pretty low to actually care to make money off of such a thing. She should just be happy that she has her child back. And this Medrash is trying to praise a tzaddik. So how do we understand? Why would she rejoice in getting paid to nurse her child? It seems to be like a little misguided. Missing kind of the focus, given everything else that's happening to Klal Yisrael. So Shalom Shadron, the great Maggid of Yerushalayim, explains with another Medrash. The Medrash says in source number 10, HaRisham Hein Bershus Liban. HaRisham Hein Bershus Liban. Look through Tanakh, says the Medrash, and you will find that the Rasha is always being given over to his heart. The heart of the Rasha is controlling the Rasha. The Rasha is not controlling his heart. As opposed to Tzadikim, who's Liban Bershusan. By a Tzadik, the Tzadik what? The Tzadik makes sure that the Tzadik is in charge of the Lev. To make sure that it's able to guide the Lev, to direct the Lev. That the Neshama, which is in the brain, should tell the heart how to feel. Not, God forbid, vice versa. So it says, Roshalom Shadron, in source number 11, Venira Perusho, the Lev who hergish. The heart is a place of emotions. Va'amoach u'asecha. And the intellect, the mind, is a place of again, the cool intellect, right? The thoughtful, rational knowledge to make decisions. The tzaddik is able to make sure that all of his emotions are guided by his neshama, by his mind, by his intellect. The tzaddik doesn't act. The tzaddik's emotions are not emerge on their own. They're calculated. The tzaddik is able to make sure that every feeling he has, every bit of love that he has, every bit of fear that he has, it's channeled towards God. Because he's in control. As opposed to the Rasha, Masha Enkin HaRishayim Behefechim. The Rasham are just the opposites of Roshalim. Klomer Sichlam Nasun LaHargashasam. That their intellect is given over to their emotions. That because of an emotional pull towards something, they'll rationalize, they'll make up ideas to convince their mind that this makes sense. So says Roshalim Shadron, that's what's going on here. What's going on here is that what the Medrash is telling us, what was the celebration? She got her own child back. That Moshe's mother, right, the Yocheved gets her child back and she's happy that she's getting paid. What the Medrash is trying to tell us is that what? That Yocheved is not focused on Moshe being her own son. Because if she cares only about, I'm a mother and this is my child, then she's giving in to her emotions. She was actually bigger than that. You know what she was celebrating? She was celebrating the fact that what? That the Moshiach unto Yisrael, that the Savior of the Jewish people, is alive. And the indication that she's more focused on this child being the child of Klal Yisrael than being her own personal son is the fact that she's willing to get paid for it. If it's just a mother's love for her own child, then she could care less about getting paid for it. The Chazal are hinting to, says Rav Shalom Shadron, her willingness to get paid for it is trying to make it less personal. And that shows a certain control of her emotions. And again, it's the Moach guiding the Lev and not vice versa. Okay? With this Yesod, we can go one step further. Because every day when we say Shema, this is a comment that I saw in the Sefer Pnina Mishulchan Gavo in Parshas Ekev, quoting from one of the great Mashkichim, from many yeshivas, a name that's not a household name to us, Rav Yosef Lev Nindik, who was a Mashkiach in the Chavetz Chaim Yeshiva in Radin, and many other great yeshivas. He died during the Holocaust. And he says, this is the pshat in the Pasuk in Shema. Vissamtem es divarai elin, source number 12, al levavchem. The Medrash gave us a lot of examples of how the tzaddik is in control of his heart. Vayomer David el libo, v'chanahim edaberes al libo. But the Medrash didn't bring maybe one of the most obvious examples. And that's why this great Baal Machshava, this great Mashkiach, points it out to us. He says, Vissamtem es divarai elin al levavchem. That's not just a reminder to meditate upon Torah and to carry your life, live a life with mitzvos, right? It's saying, al levavchem. Make sure that you're in charge of your heart. And I'll add a little hosafa. What's the next words that we say in Shema? Baal nafshachem. What's nafshachem? Nefesh is the kaved. Nefesh is the kaved. So what the pasuk is really saying is make sure your neshama directs your heart and directs your liver. Don't work from the bottom up. Put the tefillin. Make sure that your actions, right, and your emotions, your heart, your mind, make sure everything is controlled the way that it should be, the way that a Jew is supposed to be. Don't allow yourself to live a life of chaos. Okay? Who advised Paro? If we're studying the sugya of Paro, of Kaved Lev Paro, that Paro's heart became like a liver, who is working alongside Paro? One of the greatest enemies of the Jewish people. You know who one of the greatest enemies of the Jewish people is? Well, who's the greatest savior of the Jewish people? Moshe Rabbeinu. And we learned last week about Moshe being the Goel. Right? Moshe Dafka's whole mahus is Geula. And that's why Bris Mila, his connection to Mila, which is essential for Geula. Who's the opposite of Moshe? Who's the Moshe in Tumah? It's Paro and it's Bilam. Right? It's Bilam. Bilam is the Navi of the Umat HaOlam, who's the opposite of Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore we're not at all surprised that Bilam is the one who's advising Paro to destroy the Jewish people. The Gemara in Sota says in Source 13, Amr b'chiyah bar Abba, Amr b'simai, Shlosha hayu ba'osa eitza. Paro asked advice from three people, Bilam, Iyov, and Yisro. Bilam was the one who gave him advice, kill the Jews. Iyov was silent, and therefore he was afflicted with terrible afflictions, and Yisro ran away, and that's why Yisro was zocha, that his children would become great leaders of the Jewish people. Bilam was the one who wanted and convinced Paro, according to Chazal, to destroy the Jewish people. Okay? So we have to, if we want to properly understand the evil of Paro and the Kaved Lev Paro, we need to understand a little bit the sugya of Bilam. Now watch this. This is a Gemara I'm sure some of us have learned. Brachos Dav Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara talks about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry for a moment every day. And for that moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry, it's a scary moment for Klal Yisrael. The Gemara says in Brachos that in that moment, Bilam knew how to calculate that moment that Hashem would get angry. To identify that split second that Hashem allows his anger to flare up every single day. Ki rega ba'apo chayim birtzono. Kel zo'eim b'chol yom. A moment every day Hashem gets angry. Says the Gemara in Brachos, let's read in the middle. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry every day for a moment. Look to read from Amr Belazar. A little more than halfway down, source 14. Amar lema kadosh baruch hu Yisrael, de'u kama tzedakos asisi imchem, shelo ka'asti b'mei bilam rasha. Realize Hashem says that I was very careful in guarding my anger in the times of Bilam HaRasha. Because il malei ka'asti, Bilam was such a chacham, was such a navi of the umas olam. Had I allowed myself to get angry, says Hashem, lo nishtar misoneim shel Yisrael saridu palit. There would not even be a remnant of what? So Naam Shal Yisrael is a euphemism. The enemies of Israel means the Jewish people. Right? We just don't want to utter the words. So if Hashem says, if I would allow myself to get angry, the Jewish people would have been destroyed. Because Bilam would have exploited that moment that I get angry every day, and he would have cursed the Jewish people and would have destroyed us. And Baruch Hashem, Hashem was watching out for us and didn't allow Bilam to exploit that moment to destroy the Jewish people. Says Tosfos on the spot, Brachos Dav Zayin. How would Bilam destroy us in a split second? If Hashem only gets angry, Rega Kameimre, says the Gemara, a split second, so what curse could Bilam be? Read Bilam's speeches that when he does try to curse us, they're very long speeches. How could Bilam try to destroy the entire Jewish people in a split second? V'im Tomar, says Tosfos, Mahay Yachol Omer B'Shas Rega, what could Bilam have said in a moment, in a split second? Yesh Lomar answers Tosos. He had one word that he was going to use to destroy us in a split second. What's the word? Kalem. Destroy them. Bilam was going to time the moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu got angry and say Kalem and destroy the Jewish people in that split second. Inami, I'll just point out, Tosos gives a second answer. It could be that once you start cursing the Jewish people in the Zman that Hashem is angry, you're allowed to finish your speech. I gave you in the footnote from the Shalos and Chuvos Eretz Tzvi in Source 10, in the footnotes, the Kadja Glover. The Kadja Glover was one of the great Torah personalities of Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin, one of the Rashi Yeshiva, alongside of Meir Shapiro. The Kadja Glover died al Kiddush Hashem, and as we always point out here in YU, when you quote the Kadja Glover, if you ever want to see who he is, go to the library, push what? What button do you push? 5A. And when you get to the top, you walk out of the elevator and just turn to your right and you'll see a picture of him on the wall. Because his family members helped to pay for a part of the library. Okay, Rav Aryeh Tzvi Fromer was his name. Hashem Yom Kom Damo was killed by the Nazis in Machshon. He's a big gon, big tzaddik, the kashrut lover. So his shalos and tshuvos, his response are called Eretz Tzvi. So he says an interesting thing that the Aruch HaShulchan also talks about. He quotes from the Yid HaKadosh, the holy Jew of Pershischa, who said that maybe this is actually an Eitzah in Tefillah. What happens if you realize that you didn't daven Minchah yet and there's only 30 seconds till Shkia? Assuming you're not going to daven past Shkia. Yeah? So it could be based on this Tosfos that what? As long as you start davening Mincha within the proper Zman, you're allowed to continue after the time. That's what we learned from this Tosfos. Again, that's discussed in Halacha. I just want you to be aware of it. But Tosfos brings it here as an explanation of how Bilam would curse the Jewish people. He could give a long speech, but he had to start in that split second that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry. Okay? Turn to the top of the next page. So Bilam wants to destroy the Jewish people by saying one word, according to Tosfos' first answer. What's the word? Kalem. Kalem. Now, I told you earlier, there are five parts to the soul. There's Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Yechida, and Chaya. Okay, normally we say Chaya and Yechida, but I gave you the measures as it's printed. Yechida is the deepest part. Those are the five parts of the soul. And we saw earlier, in the Agra Dekala, and in the Chassam Sofer, we saw a little bit where these parts of the soul reside within the body. The Bnei Sastra has another sefer called Agra de Pirka, and in source 17 he says that the nefesh, look where it's bolded, the nefesh mishkana bekaved, which corresponds to the svira of malchus, ruach is in the lave, and that corresponds to Zer Anpin. If you know what these Kabbalistic terms mean, great. If not, also okay. Neshama is in the Malach. Okay. So that's the same thing the Chassam Sofer told us. That the Nefesh is in the liver. The Ruach, a step up in your soul, is in your heart. And your Neshama is in your mind. And he brings an interesting remez. He says, Moach plus Lev plus Kaved is Gematria, three names of Hashem. Eke, Havaya, and Adnus. Okay, very deep things. I want to just elaborate a little bit to show you, again, just to go a little further, to show you that the Nefesh is in the liver, and that the Ruach is in the heart, and that your Neshama is in your mind. Just a few other sources to prove that, very quickly. Again, how do you know that the Nefesh is found in the liver? Because the Torah says in source 18 and 19, Ki Adam Hu HaNefesh. So you have to identify the part of your body that's the bloodiest organ, the bloodiest part of the body, in order to identify the nefesh. The liver is seen to be the bloodiest part of the body. Okay, so Adam hu nefesh, so we make the connection that the nefesh corresponds to the liver. We didn't yet really prove how we know that the ruach is in the lev, but I'll show you a pasuk that proves it. In Tehillim, in source 20, you know this pasuk well, lev tahor barali elokim, v'ruach nachon chadesh bekirbi. So that's a source that lev corresponds to the ruach. The ruach dimension of your soul is found where? In your heart. Okay? What about your neshama? We said your neshama is in your brain. Do we have any proofs to that?
Neshmas.
Okay. So we'll review a vart that I know I definitely shared with some of you in the past, but if you never heard this vart, you got to hear this vart. It's very powerful. The Or Yitzchak. Rav Yitzchak of Radvil. He writes in Parshas Vayeshev, when Yehuda goes back to find the Isha Zona, who he left some of his possessions with, and he starts asking the people of the place, Ayeha Kadesha, he beinayim. What happened to the Kadesha? What happened to the harlot that was down by the crossroads? And they say, well, there never was a harlot by the crossroads. So the Or Yitzchak writes a very deep thing. Ayeha Kadesha, he beinayim. Let's start turning this shir into a shovim shir. Okay, we're in the days of Shovim, which is the time of Shmiras Einayim, Shmiras Habris, making good decisions. Thinking rationally and not allowing our emotions to get the better of us or the worst of us. Yeah? Ayeya Kadesha Hi Beinayim, says Rav Yitzchak of Radvil. Where is Kadesha? Where is your Kedusha found? Where is your Neshama? Hi Beinayim. It's in your eyes. And he brings an amazing proof that this is so. He says, what's the one part of the body that has the greatest hisnagdus, the greatest rejection of gashmias? Take a speck of dust, a tiny bit of dirt, yeah? Put it on your arm, doesn't bother you. Put it on your back, put it on your head, put it on your toe, right? Put it even in your mouth. Man, I like it, but it's not the worst thing in the world. Put it in your nose. But a speck of dirt gets in your eye, right? And you could totally, you can't function sometimes, right? You simply cannot function. The eye has a tremendous hisnagdus to any bit of gashmis. Why? Ayeha kedesha, where is kedusha found? It's in your eyes. And therefore, the slightest bit of gashmis comes into contact with the eye, and the eye goes wild. Because your neshama is in your eyes. Now, we've been saying that the neshama is in your brain. Is there a contradiction? Absolutely not. When we put on our tefillin shel rosh, if we have time in the morning, we say that tefillah. We say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you commanded me to wear tefillin. You commanded me to wear tefillin on my arm opposite my heart. And what? Va'al ha-rosh neged ha-mawach. And what do we say? What do we say in that tefillah in Source 22? Sha'neshama shebimochi. Because the neshama which is in my brain. So is my neshama in my brain or in my eyes? The answer is, it's the same thing. Where do we put our tefillin? We put it on our head. Bein einecha. The Malvim actually, right, the Malvim worked hard to try to show how everything in the Torah is true, even as the world progresses. The Malvim actually writes, my father's an ophthalmologist, so I've spoken to him about this, right, that really the place where we place the straps of the tefillin around our head, reaching to the back of the head, and centered here between the eyes, it's mamish bein einecha. Right, the primary, I'm not going to use the right medical terms, but the primary whatever, you know, arteries, I don't know what it's called, that connect that allow images to be processed by the eye, the image being sent, absorbed in reverse, and processed in the back of the brain, and sent back forward, right, the pathway, so to speak, of vision, actually run right along the head, the spot of the tefillin. So bein einecha, opposite the brain right here, is mamish bein einecha. The tzedukim just don't know science when they put their tefillin, you know, literally between their eyes. This is mamish bein einecha. But again, in pnimius, what it means is that the brain and the eyes are connected. That's why the pasuk says, right, that the chacham ein of berosho, the wise person has eyes in his head. Your brain and your eyes are obviously very, very deeply connected. Okay, so it's not a contradiction that the kedusha of your eyes and the kedusha of your brain is one and the same. So now we've seen that what? We've seen that the kaved, we've seen a little deeper now, that the nefesh, the blood, is the kaved. Rev tahor barli elokim v'ruach nachon chadesh b'kirbi. The ruach is the heart. And the neshama shebamochi, the inayim / the brain, is the mishkan of the neshama. What did Bilam want to do to destroy the Jewish people? Now we come to the final step of this year. Bilam wanted to destroy the Jewish people with one word. And what was that word? Kaleim. What does Kaleim stand for? Kaved, Lev, Moach. Bilam wants a Jew to operate from the bottom up, to allow our liver, to allow the part of our neshama, right, the part of our soul that is most gashmi, to impact the raw, intense emotions of the heart, and then to rationalize everything with our mind, to explain why I have to do this aveira. That's what it means to destroy us with the word Kaleim. And the truth is, even though Hashem blocked him, if you look deeply into the Torah, you see that Bilam tried, even with being blocked, he tried to say Kaleim. Where does Bilam say Kaleim? He has these whole long speeches. Take a look. The Svarim point out, towards 24, 25, and 26. Bilam's first speech begins with what letter? Chaf. Ki mirosh surim erenu. Bilam's second speech begins with Lamed. Lohibit oven biyakov. And Bilam's third speech begins with Mem. Matovu alech Yaakov. And that was Bilam's way of trying to say Kaleim. Even though he was forced to bless Klal Yisrael, in his Rishus, the one, the advisor of Paro, the antithesis of Moshe Rabbeinu, of Das, the Kedusha, having my brain in the right place, Bilam tried to curse us and say Kaleim. Kaleim is an attitude. It's a mahalach in Avodas Hashem. Do I operate from my raw emotions and then I come up with explanations to make myself feel justified? Or am I able to be in control? Like a melech, operating from the top down. Melech, like the Chassam Sofer told us, is what? Melech. Moach, lev, kaved. Do I want to be a ben melech? Kol Yisrael b'nei malachim, the Mishnah. The Mishnah in Shabbos, right? Or to go even further, according to one girsa in Chazal, that not a Jew is not a ben melech, a Jew is a melech, mamish a melech. Every one of us has a likud of malchus, like Rabbi Nachman talks about in several pieces in Likud to Maran. So take a look, Source 27, says Tosfos in Avodah Zarah, the parallel Tosfos. Tosfos in Brachos, which we saw, didn't say this point. But Tosfos in Avodah Zarah asked the same question. How is Bilam going to destroy us in one word, in one moment? Says Tosfos, he was going to say what? Kaleim. But look what Tosfos adds in Avodah Zarah, where it's bolted. V'akadosh Baruch Hu hafcho v'amar melech. But Hashem's response is no. There's not going to be Kaleim. Truas, Melech Bo. Truas Melech Bo. That's the response. Truas Melech Bo. I'm just realizing now how this is connected to Chodesh Shvat. The Beis Yosef writes, Rav Yosef Cairo, the Beis Yosef, you don't have this in front of you, but the Beis Yosef brings an interesting thing from the Shibboleth Halakhah. Hold on, give me a second. I'll show it to you inside. That in the last of the Halukas, in Kapitel Kuf Nun, in the last of the Halukas, which is in Pesukah Dezim, which is the last parak of Tehillim, there are 12 different expressions. There are 12 different expressions. Wow, yeah, this is good. There are 12 different expressions, right? There's 12 expressions. We repeat the last phrase twice. Kol Neshama Talka Luka, Kol Neshama Talka Luka. Those 12 expressions correspond to the 12 months. Why do we repeat the last one twice? Adar Aleph, Adar Sheni. What's the expression for Chodesh Shvat? Hallelujah. B'tzel Tzalei Trua. Trua. Halu B'tzel Tzalei Trua. Praise Hashem with what? With the sound of the Trua. What's the Trua? We just saw. Truas Melech Bo. Truas Melech Bo. What's the letter for Chodesh Shvat? What's the letter? For Chodesh? Every month has a letter. What's the letter for Chodesh Shvat? What's the letter for Chodesh Shvat? Tzadi. The letter is Tzadi. The letter is Tzadi. Right? Tzadik. The whole of Avodah Shvat, which is the month that falls out entirely in Shovavim, right, is to try to come to this union of Truach Melech Bo. Truach Melech Bo. To restore the Malchus. To restore the Malchus. I'm also just realizing another thing. What's the action for Chodesh Shvat? See, I should have put in the part about the fat and geese. What's the action for Chodesh Shvat? No, I'm not joking. I'm being very serious. The Sefer Yetzirah says, B'nai Yisrael says, the action for Chodesh Shvat is what? Is L'ita. You know what L'ita is? Force feeding. Force feeding. Li'ita, stuffing the goose. Because a person who's nichshol in his achila is for sure going to be nichshol in pagam bris. Kedushas pan, kedushas bris are deeply connected. Everything from eating non-kosher to indulging excessively in taivas achila. Right? There's a very strong link between the two. That's why when Yosef is told by Potiphar, you're in charge of everything in my house except for what? Except for the bread that I eat. What does Rashi say the bread that I eat means? Eishes Potiphar. So there's a strong connection between Kedushas HaPeh, Achila, and Bris Mila. Essentially, maybe that's why L'ita is the action for this month. Okay? So Chaver, to finish up. So Bilam wants us to say Kalein. Bilam wants to destroy us. That a Jew should give in to his urges. Right? Kaved, Lev, Malach. Hashem says back, Truas Melech. Truas Melech, Bo. Turn to the last page. Truas Melech. What does it mean to be a Melech? With this we'll conclude. What does it mean to be a Melech? There's a famous Ibn Ezra on Parshas Naso. In Parshas Naso it talks about the Nazir. And the Nazir has an aspect of Malchus. Who amongst the brothers is called the Nazir? Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik has the Nazir. Right? In the Bracha of Yaakov Avinu. Yosef is the Nazir Achav. Yeah? So the Nazir has a sheiches to Malchus. Yosef was a melech in Mitzrayim, we said. Yosef had the longest Malchus in history, in all of Tanakh, 80 years, from 30 years old to 110 years old. Yosef is a king. A king means you have to operate from the top down, means you have to know how to run away from Eishes Potiphar. That's what it means to be a melech. Says in Ibn Ezra, a nazir is not allowed to metame himself, not even to his own relatives. Says Ibn Ezra, what is the inyan of being a melech? Says the Ibn Ezra, duh. People think a melech means I can do whatever I want. I have power, so I can do whatever I can indulge all of my desires. That's not a real melech. That's not a Jewish melech. A real melech is mevatel himself to the tzibur, and he works for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Duh. Look what the Ibn Ezra writes, where it's bolded in 29. Duh. Ki kol b'nei adam avdei taivus ha'olam. Most human beings are enslaved to their desires. V'ha-melech ha-amiti, but a true king. You want to wear the crown? You want to wear the crown? Call Mishu Chafshi Menataivus. That the person who's not enslaved to your desires. They're able to say no to your Yetzirah. They're able to control your eyes. You're able to control your heart. You're able to control your liver. Right? Because it's all top down. The Malchus is established from the head. From the head down to the liver. Now what do you see, Yaakov? So look at the next verse, exactly. So a person feels that I'm losing the battle, I'm being destroyed, Yetzer is getting the better of me, and I'm giving it to all my urges, and my lower parts of my soul are dictating my entire existence, but I want to be a melech, as a Jew, be'etzem is a melech, as a sheikhas to malchus. So we said the other day, that one of the main ways we fight the Yitzhara, especially the Yitzhara for arayos, for sexual immorality, is what? Is through Torah. That there's a strong link between Torah and Taiva. To whatever degree a person gets his excitement out of Torah, he'll be able to control his sexual urges. So says the Mishnah and Peah that we're also familiar with. V'talmud Torah keneged kulam. Talmud Torah is keneged kulam. If you feel that you're struggling, chaf, lamed, mem, that the kaved is informing the lev, is informing the moach, Talmud Torah is how you fight back. When you learn Torah, you become a melech. When a person learns Torah, he becomes a melech. That's why the Rambam famously concludes, Hilchos Yisurei Bia. It's the last halacha, as if to say, if you want to put an end to the Yetzirah for Yisurei Bia, if you don't want to give in, you don't want to give in to the Yetzirah, you don't want to be nichshol and shmiras einayim and shmiras sabris, you want to be a person who's able to walk down the street and to walk past a woman and to not have lewd thoughts. If you want to be such a human being, which is not an easy thing, says the Rambam, the last halacha in Hilchos Yisurei Bia, in order to conquer this Yetzirah, says the Rambam in the second line, Gedolim Mikol Zos, Amru, Yifana Atzim Achshavas L'Divrei Torah. Attach yourself to Torah. If you attach yourself to Torah, if you expand your consciousness with Torah, right? V'yarchiv Daito B'Chachma, She'ein Machshavas Arayos Miskaberas Ela B'Lev Panoi Minachachma. If your heart is not informed by your moach, if you don't have Torah, then you're going to get involved in arayos. But if you have this chachma, if it's ayeles ahavim v'ya'alas chen, chavre, ayeles ahavim v'ya'alas chen, it's quoting a pasuk in Mishlei. If Torah is your beloved, if you fall in love with Torah, right, then you're not going to give in, you're not going to fall in love with cheap thrills. You're not going to give in to pritzos and arayos. You're not going to get a gishmak out of that. Because you have something much deeper. You're going to have chen. Who has chen? Who in the Torah has chen? Who has chen? It's the very letters of his name. Noach. Noach is the Indian of chen. Yeah? Noach survived the Mabul, like we alluded to last week. The Mabul, water, Mayim Rabim, Taiva, right? To have chen means what? Have chen means to be a person who's in control of this Yetzirah. Ayeles ahavim v'ya'alas chen. To have the true beauty and the splendor of a Talmud Chacham. Real Malchus, being in control. Ayeles ahavim v'ya'alas chen. And a person who has that, if you have love for Torah, I'm giving a homework assignment right now. I know most of you aren't going to do it, but I'm going to give it anyways. The homework assignment is to go onto YU Torah and to listen to Rav Aaron Kahn's shir from a few years ago. I think it's the one where he starts off. He says, "I would like to speak about my love affair with Torah." I don't know. I forget what the shir is called. I'll find it for you. Maybe called like my love affair with Torah.
Something with, I think, math equations.
It was a really powerful. No, not that one. Not the one to give over here. It was in Gluck. And he speaks about if a person falls in love with Torah, that is the greatest protection from every Yetzirah. And it's possible to fall in love with Torah. And the reason the Rambam is making this comparison is the same pleasure a man gets from falling in love with his beloved, which the Rambam describes. And then the Vilchus Tshuva, where you can't stop thinking about your beloved. That's what Torah is supposed to be. And if you channel that towards Torah, then you'll be able to express itself in the right way. And a person won't be nichshol in the chet hayadua. By the way, what's the name for the avera when a person sins with arayos? It's called ra, right? It's always called ra. Yeah, the erva onin in the Torah who were killed. Why? What was their crime? Tzah zara levatala. They wasted their seed. Rashi says, right, that they were ra be'enei Hashem, that they were evil in the eyes of Hashem. That they were destructive. When a person has the koach of Torah, you're creating worlds. Every word of Torah you learn, you're building worlds. A person who's pogim is bris, who wastes seed, which has creative potential, is the exact opposite. So again, ayelas ahavim v'ya'alas chen. I'll tell you a little gematria that I thought of this morning. Ayelas ahavim v'ya'alas chen. Ayelas ahavim v'ya'alas chen is gematria 1073. It's the same gematria of what? Of lo ira ra. Kiata imadi, lo ira ra kiata imadi is also 1073. Because if you're in love with Torah, then lo ira ra, you're not going to sin with this avera of ra kiata imadi. Because I walk with Hashem, because I get my fill of love from God. that Hashem is Melech Malchei Amlachim, and I'm appointed second in command. I'm also a Melech. Not like Paro perverted his Malchus. So, Chaver, let's finish. The Zohar says that a person who guards his bris milah is called a Tzaddik. That's the letter of the month of Shvat. Truas Melech Bo. That's the Avod of Chodesh Shvat. The Zohar in Source 33 says that Yosef, a Tzaddik, became a Melech. And the Zohar says, Mikan ulifno, last line, 33, Mandinotir lahai os. The person who guards his bris milah is Zoche l'malchus. Is Zoche to Malchus. If you guard your bris, you're Zoche to Malchus. What does it mean to be a Melech? It means to have success in Torah. It means to be in control of your life. To experience true freedom. To get out of Mitzrayim, Erebas Haaretz. Says the Gemara in Gittin in the final source, Minalach the Rabbanan Ikru Malachim. How do you know that rabbis, people who study Torah, are called kings? Because the Pasuk says, Bi Malachim Yimlochu. The more Torah you know, the more you advance your Malchus, your kingdom. And I want to end with the second to last source. Look at this Medrash. Cut this Medrash out and hang it up. Look how Yosef, every bit that you work on yourself in this matter, is going to be precisely rewarded. Yosef, we said, was the greatest king of all time. In all of Tanakh, he has the longest kingdom, according to the Svarim and Parshas of Vayeshev. Look at this beautiful Medrash. We'll end with this. Amar Mishum and Gamliel. Yosef Mishalo Nasnolo. Every bit of Yosef's royalty that was granted to him, all of the chashivas that was given to him, was because of a specific control of his body. Every move was calculated. Look at this, it's beautiful. Piv, his mouth, shalo nashak ba'aveira, his mouth that didn't kiss, that which was not meant to be kissed. That mouth was zocha to what? To make commands, to make decrees in Mitzrayim. Gufo, shalo naga ba'aveira, his body that didn't touch, wore the beautiful clothing of the king. Tzavaro, his neck, shlohirch, which he did not extend, right? He didn't extend his neck to look at Ashes Potiphar. His neck was adorned with beautiful jewelry. Yadav, his hands, shlomishamsho ba'avera, his hands, which didn't touch in a sinful way. He was zochet to wear the ring, the signet ring, on his finger. Raglav, shalom pasu ba'avera, his feet did not step or run in a sinful way. He was placed in a chariot, a beautiful chariot that would carry him to protect his feet. Machshava, shalom chashva ba'avera, and his mind that was not used in a perverted way. He became what? Avrich, an av b'chachva. And that's what it means to be a melech. Truas melech bo, that the moach informs the lev, informs the kavim. That's how we defeat Paro, that's how we defeat Bilam, and that's how we bring the geula and bring tremendous nachas ruach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, especially during these parshios and in the days of Shovavim and in Chodesh Shvat. Shkaya, thank you for coming. Thank you for sticking it out. I hope this was interesting.